Thank you, Pastor Neil. Good morning, church. It's good to be here. Yes, when Pastor Neil joined the ministry, I realized that that's what singing meant. And therefore, you know, my singing career has prematurely also come to an end. But it's good to be here. You know, one of the things that I'm really thankful for, it's really the support and the unity of the church. I said it last night in our prayer meeting. And I really, to represent the pastoral team, we are so thankful for all your prayers, all your texts, all your support. So many one of you came up to us and say, Pastor, how could we help out? How could we lighten the load? How could we do this together? And for that, I think we are so thankful. We are so encouraged. The other thing I'm thankful for is really for this Every Nation Global Spiritual Family. For the last 1 week, we had pastors and leaders from 11 nations that flew in to just to be with us, to bring comfort, to bring encouragement, and also some of them to help us transition through this difficult period of our church. So that is the two things that I'm really thankful for as I reflect back the week or the last 2 weeks. I want to start by showing this picture. This picture was taken in Chinese New Year 2023. Okay, I know Joel is probably in Japan at that time. And every year, Pastor Timothy and Theresa, they will visit us during Chinese New Year. And every time he visits, he will play chess with my daughter, Kristen. Kristen is 16 years old now. Kristen is the same age as Joanna. And Pastor Tim will talk about football with my two sons, Shane and Joash. Shane is 14 and Joash is 7 years old, right there in blue. Not the purple one. That's a different Joash. But the blue color, Joash, and we intentionally get them to stand together. And Pastor Tim will make jokes with Faith. Faith is 10 years old, and if you see her, she would like to give you riddles, and she would like to basically tell you jokes that she hears and she gathers. And I am amazed that when I tell her the joke, and she say, "That's so lame, Daddy." And 1 month later, she's telling it to everybody else. And I say, "Faith, I thought that was lame." He says, "Yeah, it's the way you tell it," she said. But anyways, my wife Jill and I, we have been married for 16 years. The first 8 years were good. The second 8 years were great. You know, some of you are getting nervous there. Okay, anyway. Jill right now, she's preaching in Damansara Church. And it is her first time this week preaching after 12 years. And the preaching is arranged 3 months ago because of the topic that we spoke, and she's right there. I wonder how she is doing. Okay, but we wanted to start this series called Wholeness in God, and this is a series of mental health. And I believe that this series is potentially one of the most important series this year that we want to do because mental health challenge is so real. And we believe that mental health challenge is the greatest battlefield in our 21st century. Depression is real. Anxiety is real. Grief is real. And the different things that we go through is real. And it's a personal series for me as well, because I had people in my life. My mother-in-law, before she passed on, she was diagnosed with schizophrenia and bipolar. And over just last 6 weeks, I had personal conversation with two persons, separate occasion, that is suffering from, one is from anxiety, one is from depression. One is a believer in our church, and the other one is an unchurched person who a church member wanted to bring him to meet me. And as he was sharing with me his depression, a journey about his suicidal thoughts, and he was telling me that, you know, Pastor, that day when I had, according to his word, dumb thoughts that is coming into my mind, you know what, Pastor? I was driving around making calls, Googling for, you know, clinics and psychiatrists. I was calling, and Pastor, you know what? He says most of the numbers that I called, they were full. They're already full in terms of appointments. So I had to like round from Klang to Setia Alam all the way to Kota. And finally, he found a clinic in Kota Damansara that he's able to meet. And he was diagnosed with chronic depression and was prescribed medication. It is real. And sitting here, you may be going through some of these mental health challenges, or you may have loved ones that is going through or have gone through some of these mental health challenges. And this is the key verse that anchors this series. And I want to invite all of us to read this together. One, two, go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. You know, this is a letter that Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica. And this probably took place about 20 years after Jesus Christ resurrected and ascended to heaven. And he was addressing this church during his second missionary journey. And he was encouraging them to hold firm in their faith, to look towards the eternal hope in Christ as they go through life as a Christians in a pagan world in the midst of various hardship and persecution. And Paul was encouraging them that, hey, it is God himself, reminding the Christian that it is God himself will sanctify you completely. The Message version say God will make you whole. And that's where we get the title of our series, Made Whole, that God himself will make us whole. Our whole spirit, soul, and body. Not just spirit. I think in the Christian world, we speak about the spirit, and rightly so. But maybe we have not spoken enough about our soul and body. And as we speak about mental health challenges, it's really about the soul. As we talk about this series, there are potentially two extreme views when it comes to mental health disorder. Two extreme Christian views about mental health disorder. On one side, it is over-spiritualized mental health disorder. That the view is that when someone has mental health disorder, the person is either having demonic attack or being punished by sin or generational curses. It's all only about that. And the solution is deliverance and prayer, and nothing else but that. That's the one side of the pole. And the other side of a view is an over-naturalized view about mental health disorder, that we are quick to pinpoint to it is because of neurochemical in the brain that is imbalanced. So the only solution is only medication. Now the danger of these two perspectives is that we oversimplify something that is very complex. That we are oversimplifying something that is very complex. Yes, it is a mixture of all kinds of factors. Yes, it is spiritual, it is emotional, it is psychological, it is environmental, it is all these things that is at play. So this series, we hope to bring about that awareness, that we want to advocate a holistic view, a biblical and holistic view when it comes to mental health disorder. And this series, we want to ask the question about how, as Christians, do we view mental health disorder. We want to ask the question that if we are going through anxiety and depression, is that, as a Christian, is it something wrong with my faith? Why doesn't God answer my prayer of healing? Am I less of a Christian if I'm diagnosed with bipolar? That's the question that we want to answer as well. And what do we do as we go through this journey? And also we want to talk about, as a church, how can we be a bridge to the wholeness that can be found in God? Okay, so biblically, there is no exact term of mental health disorder that you can find in the Bible. However, there is terminology like madness or insanity that you can find in the Bible. In the Old Testament, madness or insanity is, you can find that about 19 times in the Old Testament. People like King David, King Nebuchadnezzar, they have a period of time where they were mad or insane. In the New Testament, there is this word, Greek word called meinomai, which is the root word for the English word maniac. And it was found about 8 times in the New Testament. So even though the word mental health disorder is not, the term is not found in the Bible, but we can find expression of the emotional and mental expression of mental health challenges all throughout the Bible. And these are just some example. In Psalms, you can find the psalmist speaks about how their soul is depressed and downcast, sorrow, right? You can find verse like says, my heart failed me. My heart is overwhelmed. Waves overwhelmed, weary with crying, walking through fire. You can find words like brokenhearted, crushed in the spirit, afflicted, mourning, our spirit and our body is fainting. So we have all these various expression that is found in the Bible that portray mental health challenges at play. Obviously, Matthew, Jesus himself, he was deeply grieved to the point of death. So how, as Christians, how do we view mental health disorder? A quick overview is that we want to remind ourselves that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Psalms 139, that we are made in a perfect relationship with God. And it is in a perfect world. And we are holistic beings. As human, we are holistic beings. We are not just a spiritual being, but we are a physical being, emotional being, as well as we are a mental being. And that's why I think in the New Testament, we were asked to love our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. Because there are many different aspects as a human being. Jesus, I think in Luke, was saying that Jesus grew in stature, right? He grew in stature, he grew in wisdom, mind, stature, physical, and he grew in favor with God and men, spiritual and relational as well. So we are a holistic being, and you cannot separate one from the other. However, we know that when sin came, it corrupts everything, including our mental, our minds, and not just our spirit. We know sin has broken our relationship with God. We know that. But at the same time, sin has also corrupt our relationship with one another. And that's why shortly after the fall, you have the murder of Cain and Abel. Sin also corrupts our emotional and as well as our mind as well. The Bible has many verses that speaks about how our minds are being corrupted. Weakened mind, defiled minds, depraved minds, evil minds. So these are some of the verses that speaks about how when sin came into the picture, our mind is being corrupted as well. But the ultimate hope is really when we know that God will restore every aspect of creation. Not just our spirit, not just our body. When we in heaven, we have a heavenly body. Revelation 21 speaks about there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more diseases, that God brings about that restoration. At the same time, when it comes to mental health challenges, that we have the ultimate hope that that aspect will also be restored. A quick overview, mental health disorder is part of a complex fallenness of God's creation. Thus, it is also part of God's redemptive plan. So today, we want to address the question, what do we do when we are going through mental health challenges like grief, anxiety, depression? What do we do as we go through it? I think the key word here is through it. It's easy to wanting to contend for healing and recovery, and we should do that. And that will be spoke about in the other weeks. But today we want to talk about what do we do as we are going through that journey of pain. We want to look at King David's psalm, and King David is someone who is very familiar to pain and sorrow, right? He lost his son. He lost his friend, Jonathan, in a battle, his best friend. He was being hunted and betrayed by his father-in-law, his king, King Saul. He was betrayed by his son, Absalom, and usurped him of power. And King David is someone who experienced challenges and pain. And he wrote this. He says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress." Say the word distress. And he says that my eyes is wasted from grief. And obviously a lot of crying involved. He says, "My soul and my body also." You can see that how grief has, distress has affected his whole being. "For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity." Again, intertwined with spirit. "And my bones waste away." So grief, as we talk about grief, grief affects our whole being. And I'm sure a lot of us here for the last 2 weeks, we are in this journey of grieving as well. It affects our sleep. It affects our work. It affects our thinking. It affects our strength, and sometimes we just feel that our body is weak because grief affects our whole being, and grief is exhausting. It says here, our strength fails, and grief is complex. Grief is something that is common, but not commonly spoke about. Similarly, depression, similarly, anxiety, common emotion, mental health challenges, but less common spoke about. I know psychology spoke about grief in these stages of grief, denial, anger, depression, bargaining and acceptance. And different one of us is in the various journey, various point of this journey. But in reality, it is complex. In reality, it looks more like this. That we go through roller coaster. And that explains why when we are in that journey of depression, why there are some weeks that we are doing okay. And sometimes when there is trigger and we fall into that depressive season and depressive pit once again. Because it is that journey. So what do we do? And the answer is found in the first verse that we read just now. God's grace through it all. David knew that in the midst of all that, David asked for the grace of God. He says, be gracious to me, O Lord. And this word grace, it is not just the saving grace of God, but it is also the sustaining grace that sustains us. And this New Testament word grace is the word charis that speaks about the loving kindness, the unmerited favor, the blessings, the goodness, the goodwill, and potentially all this English word may not be fully be able to capture the essence or the height and depth of God's grace. And that's why when John Newton wrote the song and he has no other words to describe God's grace except the amazing grace of God. So when we go through darkness, depression, grief, we want to ask for God's grace to be with us. The grace of God allow us to continue on when we feel like giving up. The grace of God helps us to stand when we feel like falling down. What about Apostle Paul? Paul himself has gone through many hardships as well. And there is this thorn that was described that Apostle Paul was going, was experiencing. And let me read this in 2 Corinthians. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh. Now, we have experienced a wooden splinter. Maybe sometimes we are barefooted or we handle some wood items and we have splinter, that little wood piece that is stuck underneath our skin, and that's a splinter. But this thorn, a lot of scholar was trying to guess what this thorn meant, but it wasn't clear. And this word thorn, it is the word used for a tent stake. You know, when they pitch a tent, they have that stake. So it was describing a thorn that is maybe of this size, that he felt it was given to him in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. He says, 3 times I pleaded with God about this. Paul pleaded 3 times, but potentially more than that, for God to take away this thorn. A lot of scholars thought that this thorn could be a physical illness. It could be that extreme stress of being in danger all the time. He had to run from city to city. He was beaten. He was threatened. Some scholars believe it was spiritual, as mentioned here. It was a spiritual thorn. So there's many, maybe it's a combination of all these things that Paul was experiencing, and he pleaded with God, will you take it away? And sometimes that's what we go through as well, right? When we go through depression and anxiety, we go through challenges and we pleaded with God, God, would you take it away? We hear testimonies of people say, okay, you know, I prayed to God and I was healed, praise God. The whole life group, the whole church clap. And when we pray, nothing seems to be happening. We pleaded, we prayed, and we prayed. We got people to pray for us, but we are still going through that journey of darkness and challenge. Guess what? God, instead of removing the thorns, God gave Paul the grace. But he said to me, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. The sustaining grace. For my power is made perfect in weakness. God did not remove the thorn for Apostle Paul. Can you imagine Apostle Paul? The guy who went all over Europe and just to plant churches. God did not remove his thorn, but instead God gave him the grace to sustain. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, sometimes God do not remove the challenge, but God give us grace to go through that challenge, so that the glory and the power of God may be displayed. So that when we boast of the grace and the power of God. So what do? When we go through it, God's grace through it all. Tim Keller said this. He says, God's reckless grace is our greatest hope. That in the midst of that journey, in the midst of that tunnel, we experience the depth of God's sustaining grace. You know, we also put together an interview of Chai. Chai came for our yesterday's service, and some of you who have been here, I think Chai did an interview here maybe 3-4 years ago, just sharing about her journey of depression and how she has hold on to God's grace. And in the midst of all that she's going through, there are people around him, community that is encouraging her, supporting her. And as you watch the video, it's about 4 minutes, as you watch the video, pay attention to the glimpses of God's grace that help her journey through this dark path. Okay, you watch the video.
Hi, I'm Chai. Years ago, I shared about my journey through the depths of depression. At my worst, I woke up every day just to think about the best way to end my life. I was dysfunctional, isolated, incapacitated, and living in profound darkness, both physically and mentally. I spent several weeks confined to my tiny room and survived on only biscuits and water. I had no energy or motivation to even get out of bed. The condition in my room was so terrible. The aircon was leaking, the lights no longer working, and once I even found maggots on the floor. Taking care of personal hygiene seems pointless when I just wanted to die. I was given multiple medications to cope, but that took a while because of trial and error. Most of the time, I felt like a zombie, a fat one, because I gained almost 20 kgs from the side effects. Depression robbed everything away from me. My studies, my confidence, my body image, my friends, and my ability to enjoy life like any other 20-year-old. I didn't have any hope for the future. Those dark days left me feeling ashamed. Yet, they also reminded me that I am alive today only because of the grace of God. I once hoped to be completely and immediately healed from depression. But I've come to understand that victory over depression doesn't mean total eradication of struggles in this life. Rather, it means having the assurance that even in this ongoing battle, God's grace is more than sufficient to sustain and preserve me. I've come to know that I still can experience God's presence and lead a purposeful life, even in the struggles of depression. Though there are days when I still find myself paralyzed by the weight of depression, I take comfort in the unchanging nature of God's love and His word. I hold on to Psalms 139, which says, God knows my thoughts and feelings, even the darkest ones. And then, even if I made my bed in hell, God is there. In my brokenness, I found myself turning to prayer, lamenting to God just like David in the Psalms. It is in those lowest moments that I recognize that God alone is my strength and refuge. I also learned that depression is not a battle that I can win alone. It was through the support and care of the church community that I began to find healing. I learned to open up about my struggles, to let go of the fear and shame that once kept me down. I allowed leaders to speak into my life, to pray for me when I couldn't find the words. Many like Pastor Tim, Teresa, Pastor Agape, and Zoe literally went to the prayer wall on my behalf, knocking on heaven's door and asking God to preserve my life. They shared my burden and allowed me space and time to recover. They pointed me back to the hope in Christ. My journey may seem far from where I thought I should be, but I've learned to be faithful where God has placed me, whether on the mountain or in the valleys. As I grow to depend on the sustaining power of God's grace, I get to witness how my dark, ugly story can be used by God to bring encouragement and hope to others going through similar struggles. He redeems my pain and uses it for good. Through it all, God reminds me that He is with me in this prolonged depression. There's hope and healing, no matter how deep or how long the despair. God's grace is indeed sufficient and ever-present.
A hand. What an encouraging story. And today, you know, she will tell you that there is that journey of up and down, but God is using her to bring encouragement in different platforms to speak about this area. You know, it's really a holistic journey of recovery, of different aspects of community and prayer and counseling, and in certain instances, maybe medication is required. So there is really a holistic journey of recovering and healing. So today, if you are going through some sort of a mental health challenge, break out from that stigma to think that our faith is not strong enough, or am I punished for this, or am I less of a Christian that I'm going through this? But I want you to know that if you are going through that, know that you are in Christ. That you are in Christ, even though you may be going through depression and taking medication and therapy, that you are in Christ. That you are in Christ even though you are going through those emotion and mental health challenges. Number two, know that you are not alone. Reach out to someone that you can trust. You know, a lot of times there are people around you who loves you and cares for you, but they may not know what to do, what not to do, what to say, and what not to say. But there are people who cares for you and who loves you. And just like that conversation that I had with that person, it is out of care and love that his friend brought him to come and have a conversation with me. And number three, that you are in that journey of healing and recovery. That we know that our ultimate hope is in Christ. That our ultimate hope of recovery is in Christ. As I end today's message, before we have dialogue, I want to revisit the verse again. He says, may the God of peace himself. That God did not outsource this to his angels. He did not. But God himself will sanctify. Sanctify means made whole. Bring into completion. He will sanctify us completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body, our mind included, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise is this, that He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Do what? Make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. I want to invite all of us to stand, and I want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we can close our eyes just to allow us to focus and to give privacy. Maybe standing here today, some of this message, content of this message resonate with you. Some of you, maybe you're going through a season of, you feel like you are going through depression. You feel like you're having that anxiety, insomnia. You are going through this journey. Some of you, maybe you are in a journey of therapy, of counseling, of medication. Or some of you, maybe you are struggling in silence and you don't know who to reach out to. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that wherever you are standing here, God, you know. You know those of us who may be silently suffering. And we don't know who to turn to. And we feel like we have to put on a mask to pretend that everything is okay. And we want to tell that it is okay not to be okay. That we acknowledge that. And that's the beginning of the journey of recovery and to receive God's grace and to receive help and to receive love and care from people and receive prayer and to receive basically help, God, Lord, in this journey of recovery. God, we pray for those of us who is going through, God, Lord, that you minister to us, that your sustaining grace, just like how you have sustained David and Paul, your sustaining grace may come upon us, because for when we are weak, you are strong in our lives. That the power of Christ may come upon us and to rest in us. God's grace through it all. For some of us, I want to pray, God, like if you are potentially a caregiver or you are a family member or a friend of someone who is going through mental health challenges, if that's you, maybe I just want to just, you can just raise your hands wherever you are. If you are a caregiver or you have family, friends, colleagues who is going through that mental health challenge, you can just raise your hands. So I want to pray for us. God, I pray, God, Lord, that wherever we are, whether it's a friend, it's a loved one, a relative, a colleague, I pray right now, God, Lord, those whose hands are lifted, I pray you will give us the compassion. I pray that you will give us that empathy, that wisdom to be able to connect, to show care, God, Lord, that we will also begin to read up, to just begin to equip and bring awareness of this mental health challenge world so that we are better equipped to be that bridge, to help them to seek help. For some of us, maybe it's a practical help to help them with their kids or maybe to fetch them, to bring them to see a counselor, or maybe for us to pray with them, bring them towards the community. God, whatever help, God, Lord, that you will grace us, God, Lord, to be that bridge, to be that church to those who are hurting outside, Lord. God, we thank you, God, Lord. Help us to grow in our awareness and our empathy in this area, Lord, as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.